Okay, so I'm going to start off by saying, have you ever tried to hurry up God? Yeah, maybe. All right, I reckon we have, without even realizing it, trying to hurry up God, trying to hurry up. Yeah, so we've been praying maybe for about something, we've been waiting, and now you just feel you just got to get it done. I'm going to just get into it. I'm just going to hurry up God. Now, I know this has been, I remember a big area when I was a young Christian. So I'm only young, so I'm still working things out. And I remember thinking, Lord, I've been praying really hard. I've been waiting, and I still don't have a Christian girlfriend. I remember that. Oh, my goodness. And I just remember, I was so fortunate. God just stopped me from hurrying up these things because it's so easy. I'm just using that as an example to go into some pretty bad places. So I thank the Lord I haven't forgotten that. And at the right time, Colleen came on the scene. Yay. So that's good. But you know, we can really mess things up, hurrying up God. Normally what happens, you hurry up God, and it doesn't take long before you think, first of all, that you're doing God's will, right? It's all the lights are lit up, you know, and you're doing God's will, and everybody else is saying, yeah, go ahead and do it. And then you get into whatever you're doing, whatever decision you made, and everything goes pear-shaped. Oh, no, how can this be? All right. So this is what happens. So, and why is that? Because it wasn't God's will or wasn't his time for things to happen. So I want to just say a few things here. It's good to pray, always good to pray. So keep on praying. Lean on God for help. Always remember Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Don't forget that. Also, it's good to wait on the Lord. Let me say it again to you 21st century crazy people. Wait! Not everything is instant. Wait on the Lord. Otherwise you're definitely going to blow it. And there's a beautiful psalm. There's many psalms that speak about that. Psalm 27 verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. All right? So we're not to walk ahead of God, but beside him. We're not to jump the gun, but remain ready. Yeah, but sometimes, many times we persuade ourselves or others around us do, and we do something to hurry up God's will. Now, before we get into the story of Genesis 16, and we're going to see pretty clearly what's going on there, hurrying up God, I want to actually mention the story of David, because that comes to my mind as well. And I'm going to read it to you first, and you can see what danger David felt. So in 1 Samuel 24, 3-6, just before we read that, King Saul is wanting to kill David. Alright? Wanted to wipe him out. And he's being pursued by King Saul and his army. And then we read this amazing situation, 1 Samuel 24, 3-6. Saul went in to relieve himself. Oh, that's amazing. It's in the Bible. All right? Goes into the cave right where David and his men are. All right. So David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. And the men of David said to him, behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I'm about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you. So all his friends are saying, it's God's will. Kill him. Knock him off. All right. Makes sense, doesn't it? Looks right. What do you reckon? Yeah. All right. So David can't do that quite, but he does something else. Then David arose and cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly, which is a bit of a funny thing. What's he doing? He could have gone through the heart. He's just taken a bit of the edge off. Anyway, he does that. And then it says, and it came about afterward that David's conscience bothered him because of what he did. So he said to his men, far be it from me because of the Lord that I should do this thing to my Lord. The Lord's anointed to stretch out my hand against him since he is the Lord's anointed. What do you reckon of that response? Nah. It was bad enough me cutting off the edge of his robe. I will not because it's not God's will. How did he work that out? Well, he did. He realized it's not for him to take his enemy's life. God would have to do that and not me. and when the timing is right, then I'll be king. Pretty impressive, really, because I know what most of us would have done. Bit of peer pressure. All right, okay, I will do it. Boom. And we would have done the wrong thing. Got to listen to God. Pray and wait. All right. So now we are going to get into the story of Abraham. And we're going to see Abraham hurrying up God with Sarah's help. And we're going to see the disaster that results, another disaster, and even a disaster that carries way into the future. And we're also going to see God's holiness. And why do I use that word? Well, two H words, hurrying and holy. No, not really. I love God's holiness. God is like no other. And we're going to see the way he does such good things and gracious things, even in this story. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis chapter 16. And I'll start reading from verse 1, just verse 1 to start off. This is echoing a bit too, Mitch. Not sure why that is. Well, maybe it's just me. All right. Okay, here we go. Now, by the way, their names haven't changed yet, so it's not Sarah, it's Sarai, but I'll say the word Sarah, and it's Abram, not Abraham. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. Well, that's not good. So they're getting old, and they haven't been able to have children. And so that wasn't good, was it? But she knew, because Abraham would have told her, God had told Abraham, that they were going to have descendants. And in fact, in Genesis 15, 3 and 4, or say verse 4, it says there, "Then behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram, saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." So she knows that, and they haven't had children, and so you can just imagine Abraham and Sarah going, "What is going on? God promised us a child and it's not happening." And Sarah's realizing, "I'm barren, I can't have children. It ain't going to happen." Okay, so now we come to verse 2. So Sarai said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. So please go in to my maid, perhaps I will obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Okay, you can just imagine Sarah's thinking. She's thinking, right, I can't have children, but the promise is about Abraham having children, descendants, so I will get my maid, Hagar, to have a child for me. She's an Egyptian maid, so they do marry, they do all the right thing, and that's what's going to happen. All right, what do you reckon? Sounds okay? All right, well, I don't know, I think Sarah reckoned it's okay. I'm just doing God's will, making it happen. Hurrying up God. That's what's going on. Now, a few things here. You know, I just love the Bible and all the things you pick up. I do notice, okay, this is going to be a little bit funny. End of verse 2. Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. That's where he went wrong. See, that's straight in the Bible. Don't listen to your wife. No, let me now qualify that. Make sure you listen to God, not just your wife. Even for me, in my position, make sure you listen to God, not just to Ian. We've got to learn to listen to him. Otherwise, we are going to really mess things up. And now Abram, he's not listening to God, right? So Sarah comes up with an idea, and he just sort of thinks, yeah, why not? Oh, my goodness. Now, of course, you should know, that is actually part of the foundational story in the Bible, where we have Genesis 1, 2, and then chapter 3, and we have the interesting story about Adam and Eve, and Satan gets in trouble, Eve gets in trouble, and then God says to Adam, in Genesis 3:17, then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife," there it is again, "and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you." So it's a pretty full-on thing with God. Like, God is really expecting us to listen to him. And so I want to challenge us all. Who are we listening to? We're listening to ourselves, to people in our life. Well, we're listening to God, number one. Number one. All right, there's always lessons to learn. Okay, so without checking with God, again, not walking by faith, but walking according to his own understanding on things, rather than the Lord's, we read the next verse, verses 3 and 4. After Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into Hagar and she conceived. Wow! So Abram's going to have a child, a descendant through Hagar. All looking good, right? There's no mention of hurrying up God yet. It's just like, well, good. This is God's will. We're actually making God's will happen. How good is that? All right. But actually, in that same verse, verse 4, we start seeing things go downhill. Let me read verse 4 again. He went into Hagar. She conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. Here we go. These are the things that make it clear when we're not in God's will. Now, when we're in God's will, I know we can have challenging things about us, but the most important thing about God's will is that we will find ourselves, even if there's storm around us, we will know contentment and rest and peace and joy, even if it's persecution. You'll know that. But that's not what they're going to face because it's not God's will what happened. God permitting it, but it wasn't what he had planned. And so we read here that Hagar, she conceives the baby, she mistreats her boss. That was Sarah. How the tables are turned. Hagar was a maid, but now she looks like she's the boss, being horrible to Sarah. What do you reckon of that? That's not good. Bit of trouble. Okay, next verse 5. And Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. Oh man, it's getting worse. So there's friction between Sarah and Hagar. Now there's friction in the marriage between Abraham and Sarah. Sarah's saying, it's your fault. Go and sort it out. Alright? So you see what happens. It all starts to get worse and worse. Here it is. It's all in the Bible. And at the end of verse 5 says that may the Lord judge between you and me. That's pretty strong to say to your husband, isn't it? May the Lord judge between you and me. Alright. Okay, so we've got all this happening. And then in verse 6 we read, but Abram said to Sarai, behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight. Alright, so do you pick up something there? He uses the word maid, your maid. Hey, mate, Abraham, she's not a maid now, she's your wife. Which means Abraham is washing his hands of all responsibility. That's not very good either. And then he says to her to do whatever she wants. And so Sarai treated her harshly and she fled from her presence. Hurrying up God? Not a good idea. Look what's happened. There's all sorts of friction and tension. What a mess. What a mess, all because they're not walking by faith. What a mess. They're not listening to God. What a mess. Doing their own thing, hurrying up God. Not doing the will of the Lord, but doing their own will. Now it's really important. I think for me, as I think about the Christian life, I think one of the summaries I would give of the Christian life would be it's all about the battle of the wills. Are you going to be committed to do the will of God or your own will? And I see that right through the Bible. I am encouraged by Jesus that we be people who pursue the will of God. Even in that prayer, it's built in. The prayer that Jesus taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Wow, I don't even realise it's there. Thy will be done, not my will. And Jesus lived it out, didn't he? I think the pinnacle of it was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, not my will, but yours be done. And we are meant to be people who are switched on to that, whose heart is to do the will of God. Not doing our own will, not forcing God's hand, but doing the will of our God. Because the will of God is the very best thing to do. The will of God leads to rest and peace and joy and contentment. The will of God is so good. In fact, Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that that which is good and pleasing and perfect. Are you convinced God's will is the best? That's where you've got to start with. Is God's will the best? Is it good, pleasing and perfect? Romans 12:2 says that. Then make sure you're doing God's will and not your own will or twisting God's arm and hurrying him up. Make sure you do the will of the Lord. So the second half now, we're going to look at Hagar. She has to flee from the presence of Sarai. And you got to remember that they were living in an arid part of Canaan. And Hagar leaving Abraham and Sarah, she is actually leaving, and very strong this is, she's actually leaving a place where she could now die because it's arid. I remember in 2019 with Colleen, we went to see the Negev of Israel, and it is absolutely barren. I don't even think of anything in Australia so barren as that area. You go, if you don't find a spring of water, you're going to die. And so Hagar has to flee. She's fleeing to her death. So let's have a read of now verses 7 and 8 of Genesis 16. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. And I don't know how you feel when you read that. I go, no way. Look at this. Hagar is fleeing. Abraham doesn't care. Sarah doesn't care. She is by a spring of water. That's good. And there she is. And you know, you think of all the things she's an Egyptian maid. It's not God's will for this to have happened. It was meant to be Abraham and Sarah are going to have a child. And it was all messed up. And yet who goes to find her? Who goes to see her? It's the angel of the Lord. Wow. That is impressive. The angel of the Lord. Okay. So now we're going to read verse 9. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Well, that's not so good. Wow. But you know what's so striking here? Abraham and Sarah are not doing the will of God. They're just hurrying up God's will, doing what they reckon should happen. Hagar actually does return. She returns. She does the will of God, the Egyptian maid. What do you think of that? She knew that she would be going back and she'll be harshly treated. She knew Sarah couldn't bear her anymore. It's going to be tough. But we'll read on and how she went home. Sometimes doing God's will is tough. Really tough. But we do it. And as we do it, we'll have joy and peace and contentment. But it can be tough. Return to your mistress, the angel of the Lord said, and submit yourself to her authority. Okay, but it doesn't stop there. Let me keep reading. I'm going to read now verses 10 and 12. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants, so that they will be too many to count. And the angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers. Wow, some interesting things are shared. The angel of the Lord is sharing pretty amazing stuff with Hagar. He's sharing with her about how a son would be born. So that's good. It's not like God's going to just make it all collapse. Yeah, your baby's going to die in the womb or die at a young age. This whole mistake's going to be wiped out. God could have done that. No, he's promising that this child will be born. Are you going to call his name Ishmael? Which means the Lord hears. How lovely is that? That means every time Hagar heard the name of her son being proclaimed, Ishmael, she would probably remember, the Lord hears. That is, he heard my cry when I was in the wilderness. What a touching God we have, who touches our hearts, who loves us so much. We also learn here that he'd be a wild donkey of a man, which we might have a little laugh about. The Ishmaelites became the people who we call the Arabs. And there's 12 princes that came from this line. And they were always against each other. And they've always been against each other and everyone else. And they still are. So that's how it is. Do you know that? You know your history. These are the people of the Middle East who are always in opposition with each other and with everyone else. God knows everything. Yeah. All right. So now we come to this last bit. And I'd be wondering, wouldn't I? Would you be wondering about this now if you were Hagar? Like, who is the angel of the Lord really? How come he knows so much? What do you reckon? Okay, well, Hagar works it out. Verse 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God who sees." For she said, "Have I even remained alive here after seeing him?" So what's she done in her mind? Who is the angel of the Lord? None other than the Lord. Angel actually means messenger. And sometimes we don't pick up on that. Angel, messenger. So it's right for Jesus to be called the messenger of the Lord. And we reckon it was Jesus, another time where he comes into the story. What do you reckon? He's the one who has had a great heart for Hagar. He's the one who came to her in his kindness and love for her. He's the one who heard her crying and went to her. I love this. This is the heart of Jesus. Abraham didn't care. Sarah didn't care. But Jesus did, and he went to see Hagar. You know, it's exciting. It's to be excited about. This is another picture of the heart of Christ. The same heart he has for you. The same heart. Wow. We matter to him. And so I love how Hagar realizes that. And she's even amazed. She senses some things that we often don't. She senses how incredible it is that I am in the presence of the Lord. I have seen the Lord. He should have struck me down because no one is allowed to see the Lord. And he's holy and I'm not. And so she has that understanding. What an incredible privilege that I've been able to see the Lord and still be alive. Yeah, so we come then to verse 14. Therefore the well was called Beer Lahoi Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And if you look in your Bibles, normally it has a little footnote. That name, that Hebrew name, means the well of the living one who sees me. So she wanted to honour the Lord by calling that well the one who sees me. Isn't that lovely? So then we read verses 15 and 16, just closing this part up. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. What does Ishmael mean? The Lord hears. Who did he hear? Hagar's cry in the wilderness. And Abram was 68 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. 86. Did I say 86? 86 years old. Spring chicken. All right. Okay, so what do you think of this incredible story? So you see how Abram and Sarah mess things up, hurrying up God's will? Can you relate to that? Don't hurry God up. Just wait. Pray and wait. But also, I want to bring out something else. I wonder how it is that God allowed all this to happen. Why did he also make sure Hagar and her son will be kept alive? It's not according to his will, we think. And yet God permits all sorts of things to happen. So he allowed Hagar to have a child. And this child's descendants would be antagonistic towards Israel and towards the Western world today. But God has allowed it to be. And then I can't help but think of how God is so sovereign. He's able to see all things. He permits all these things that happen. But also his perfect will is still happening. All sorts of things happening. And actually, when I was thinking of this, I was thinking of a verse that we don't often quote, but in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, God works all things after the counsel of his will. So God had counsel with himself and knew, he always already knew all this was going to happen. And his will said, yes, let it be. And so Hagar was allowed to have Ishmael, and a little baby was born. And I stand in awe of God, how he works all things out, how he's so sovereign. He has his perfect will and we add to it and mess it up, but God's will still is accomplished. So my final words would be, don't hurry up, God. Don't mess up his will. But even if you do, God is so great, he can still accomplish his purposes. Amen. I'm glad he does. So no human can mess up the ultimate will of God. But it's good to be in his will most of the time. So I'm going to just close in prayer and see if anyone's got any thoughts they'd like to share. I don't know how you find Genesis 16. Quite an intriguing chapter. Our Father, thank you for the lessons that I personally have learnt going through this chapter. I know, Lord, how I have been guilty of hurrying you up, being impatient and pushing on you what I want and not surrendering to you. And you know that I'm really sorry for doing that. And I pray, Lord, for all of us that we would be people who reverence you, that we wouldn't be trying to work it all out on our own, but we would be allowing you to lead us and guide us, both in doing your will as well as the timing of your will. And I also thank you that these lessons are here in the Bible for us to learn. And I'm also amazed that even though Ishmael was born, and we could argue that was just such a terrible mistake, you permitted it according to your sovereign will. And I thank you, Lord, for how you're able to work it all out and hold it all together because of how great you are. Yeah, so I just thank you for tonight, and Lord, ask that you administer to us and teach us from the things that we've looked at tonight. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.